Good morning, and welcome to the Word for Life Radio Ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, Counseling Pastor, Senior Citizens Pastor at Brookside. And before we get into the program, I would just like to say, if you aren't an active member of a local church anywhere, we would love to see you at Brookside. Just love to have you come to any one of our services, 9 or 10:15 Sunday morning or 6 o'clock Sunday evening. And we have a series of just amazing things going on Wednesday night, and so plan to join us. Love to meet you. Love to hear what God is doing in your life. I wonder if you could grab your Bible wherever you are, if that's possible, and I want to just do a short Bible study with you. Proverbs chapter 4. We want to read a few verses, and then we'll go to Proverbs chapter 7. I've entitled this, "It's a Path, Not an Event." A path. The idea of, I can just kind of mess around a little bit, and it won't hurt me much. I don't think it'll hurt me at all. In fact, I think I'll enjoy it. You're not understanding. It's not an event. It's not a one-time thing. It's a path. Years ago, I heard a statement that literally stopped me in my tracks. We were talking about a man in full-time Christian service who had attained a great success and then fell into immorality. And this is the statement that was made about him. Quote, "His success carried him higher than his character could sustain him." End of quote. And I looked at my friend and I said, "Would you say that again? That is amazing. His success carried him higher than his character could sustain him." See, no man or lady ever falls suddenly. Usually we've been falling for quite some time, but many times the evidence of our falling is often just seen suddenly. For instance, a few years back when I was pastoring in another state, we had some missionaries returning from the field after pornography was discovered. We had pastors leaving the ministry because they'd been caught in an affair or an illicit conversation with a woman, not his wife, on the internet that eventually led to an affair. And then shortly thereafter, a Christian school administrator was caught in a web of deceit when his longtime lover decided to reveal their secret lifestyle to the church. And then a Christian camp staff member finally revealed he'd been struggling with pornography for many years and his marriage was tottering. And then a child evangelism fellowship director was arrested in a sting operation for soliciting a homosexual encounter in the city park. All of these were happening in a very short period of time. You know, you can be very successful in serving the Lord, but if your character is not stronger than the temptations you face daily, you're going to fall too. You remember what Isaiah 53:6 says? All we have turned everyone to what? His own way. And your own way is the path that I want to talk about today. A path. Now, what is the secret to success for a lifetime? It's recognizing the difference between an event and a path. Let me read the scripture to you. Proverbs 4, we'll begin with verse 10. "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened or hindered, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not into the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it. Turn from it, pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. But the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." Now those last two verses are vitally important. The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. In other words, as long as you're on the path of the just, you're doing that which is just and right and righteous, it shines more and more. It becomes brighter and brighter as you are heading toward a final destination of joy and satisfaction. You remember, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. That's the path we're talking about. That's the path of the just. Oh, but the next verse talks about the way of the wicked is as darkness. No light. And have you ever been walking through your house at night and you didn't turn on a light and you stepped on a ball or a toy or whatever? Ooh, painful, painful. Maybe even broke something. Why? There was no light. And that's what Proverbs 4:19 describes the way of the wicked. Notice the way or the path. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. It doesn't say if they stumble. It says they will stumble. And they don't even understand what it is that's causing them to stumble. And that is the principle of our Bible study. You see, so many times we lose our sensibility. We don't understand what is happening. Now, the word path is used in so many passages of Scripture. Jot them down if you've got a piece of paper. Proverbs alone talks about the path in Proverbs 2, verses 8 and 9, and 13 and 15 and 18 to 20. All of those are in Proverbs chapter 2. Now, the word path is the word trench. Trench. When I was a little boy, I would visit my grandpa in western Wisconsin who had a dairy farm. And the cows coming down from the high hill where they'd been in pasture all day, coming back down to be milked, they would follow the same paths, and eventually the rain and the beating of their hoofs developed the paths into trenches. And as a little boy, those trenches were so deep they were up to my chest. Now, the cows would get into the trenches, and there was no way to get out other than just keep going forward. They were very, very deep, trodden down when muddy, and then they became hardened. And once you're in it, you just basically have to keep on going the direction that you've started to go. That's exactly what a path of the wicked is all about. Now, let me call your attention now, a couple of chapters later, to Proverbs chapter 7. We read about a young man that was just out for a good night. But Solomon, the writer of this proverb, was watching this young man from his window in his palace. Notice, if you will, in Proverbs chapter 7. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, my lattice, that which was covering my window. So Solomon is saying, I was looking out my window one night, and verse 7, and I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner. Now this goes back to the strange woman, the loose moral woman is what it means. And so he was passing near her corner, and he went the way to her house. Key words, the way. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. Her dress and her heart. She is loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impotent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. In other words, I've asked the Lord to forgive me of my past sins. I'm ready to sin some more. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. Made it sound so personal. I have decked my bed with tapestries of covering, with carved works and fine linen of Egypt, and I perfume my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the goodman, her husband, is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. And with much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. It really didn't take a whole lot. We'll continue this story as we go along. But I want you to meditate on what this chapter is saying, because it may save your life. It may save your marriage, or it may save your ministry. You see, we're talking about the principle of a path. See, every path has a destination. This young man is seen by Solomon from his palace window, and because he's void of understanding, he just thinks of the activities of this evening as just an event. But Solomon thinks of it as a path. We pointed out in verses 8 and 9 that the path was near her house, and then he went the way to her house. It was all hours of the evening and the night time. And I guess the question we need to pause and ask is, how are you spending your free time? How are you spending your free time? Is it doing something that is honoring to your Lord? Notice in verse 10 of Proverbs 7, the relationship between the attire of this woman and the heart of the woman, see, they're connected. Because whatever's in your heart will determine how you dress. What does your attire say about you? What does your dress say about you? When you can wear what you want to wear, a lot of it goes back to what your heart is. But then notice verse 14, we talked about it briefly. God's forgiven my past sins, so I'm ready to sin again. Do in haste, repent in leisure. Is that the attitude of your secret life? Is that the path you're on? The idea that all I have to do is claim 1 John 1:9, if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just, forgive me my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness, and everything is cool. If that's your attitude, that's not truly repentance. Because repentance means changing your mind about what you think and do. In fact, Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh will find mercy. Somebody put it this way, if you're not willing to forsake your sin, God's not willing to forgive your sin. I'll say it again. If you're not willing to forsake your sin, God's not willing to forgive your sin. And then we pointed out in verse 15 how that she tried to make that young man feel so special. I've been seeking only you. But verse 26 says, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. What a liar. She says, I've just been looking for you, young man. But no, she's looking for anybody that's gullible, anybody that will be seduced by her temptations. And what a wicked woman she is. We will see the next time we're together how brash and hardened she has become. She's a married woman, but certainly not living like one when her husband is gone. Be sure to join us the next time we're together as we continue our study of It's a Path. Not just an event. If you know someone that needs to hear this, be sure to ask them to join us in a couple of days at the same time. Until then, may the Lord bless you in an awesome way.